I really, you know, I this book had kind of a magical composition in that it was wrote itself, relatively speaking, much more easily than almost all of its predecessors, with the possible exception of Wonder Boys, which was a long time ago. It just kind of came to me in its essence and with the basics of what ended up actually being in the book present to me within the first week or so, and within the first day, of writing it, you know, I started with this little piece of a family story that I had heard, and it was about an uncle, my great uncle, my grandfather's brother, my actual grandfather, not my fictional grandfather. His brother, so the story went, as I heard it, had been fired from a job working as a salesman in New York City in the mid-60s to create a space on the payroll of the company he worked for Alger Hiff. Uh-huh. That was the story that I had heard. And, you know, I think I was thinking of that story because I had just finished reading Dennis Johnson's Train Dreams, which had this one little moment in it that I just loved. It's a really kind of a minor moment in that beautiful novel where the protagonist, as an old man, has a glimpse of Elvis Presley, who's sort of passing through on a train, and his train, I think, breaks down in the small town in Montana or Idaho, or I think in Washington State, I think it is actually where he lives, and just this sort of intersection of a private life that you've been reading about for that novel with this big public life and this big American arc of history kind of intersecting with a small, intimate, personal arc of history. That I just love that moment. And I think because of that, I started thinking about my great uncle, whose small, private, intimate story had intersected, you know, in this sad way, really, for him, with his big arc of American history, with the history of the Cold War and, you know, anti-communist frenzy. And that's what put that little anecdote in my mind, and I started to write it. And just very, very quickly, within the first half hour, had changed my great uncle into my grandfather. And at that moment, as soon as I made that change, I was no longer describing actual family history. I was fictionalizing, and my grandfather, quote unquote, had to become a person who would have been fired from his job for these reasons, and I had to start explaining what happened and why. And, you know, just in answering those questions, started to write this story. And there was just, I think because I had started in such a personal autobiographical way with an incident that could have been part of a memoir, I think it just felt very natural to me to sort of start to pretend that it was a memoir. And I felt like there was some kind of fun to be had by doing that. It might sustain my interest, you know, through the writing of the book. It takes a long time to write novels, and you have to stick with it, and can often get very discouraging and boring. And there was just something about this idea of writing it in the form of something else. And I mean, I think that's often, for me, and for a lot of writers, not just writers, I think artists working in a lot of forms, to sort of present your work of art as if it were a different kind of work of art, whether it's like a, you know, something like Spinal Tap that pretends to be a documentary, or, you know, a piece of pop art that pretends to be a comic book panel, or whatever it might be, to sort of present something in the form of something else is both often, I think, a stimulus to creativity and invention, and also kind of a scaffolding that can sustain you and the work. Because you sort of always know how the thing ought to be if it really were the kind of thing it's pretending to be. And I just had that sense that this might be a way to kind of keep me going and keep me in the story, writing it. And maybe that did have something to do with the fact that it did write itself so relatively easily and quickly for me.
Because it was fun? Is that what it comes down to?
Yeah, and because I always sort of knew there are sort of rules of memoir, of literary memoir. There's always there has to be sort of transformative calamity and confession and secrets. You know, there are kind of literary memoirs for all that they present themselves as non-fictional, are of course fictions in themselves to one degree or another, and they are certainly, it's certainly a genre, and all genres have conventions. And so it's like when I was writing the Yiddish Policeman's Union, which has the form of a hard-boiled detective novel, and because I was working in that form there, I just knew there were certain things that I needed to do to have it work within that genre. And those conventions, the conventions of genre, the conventions and limitations of genre are, to me, sources of strength. As a source of strength of a genre are its conventions. I mean, and typically when genres get condemned or slammed, they get slammed for those conventions and for what's often called formula. Mm-hmm. And formula can definitely produce formulaic work that doesn't attempt to do anything more than satisfy those conventions. But I think in the right hands, all of those conventions and rules then become goads and spurs to creativity and to invention. And it's like writing rhymed verse in meter. When you have that imposed structure, it can feel confining, but it can also be paradoxically liberating, because you know there are certain things you have to do, the formal aspect is sort of taken out of your hands in a way, and you can concentrate on other aspects. And so for me, the conventions of literary memoir, though I think they're looser at this point, and there is more flexibility, they're not quite as quote-unquote formulaic as some other genres might be, although they're sort of getting there. Because there were these kind of conventional things I knew a reader, the average literate reader, would expect in turning to a work, you know, an author's note up front the presentation of, scenes in dialogue from decades earlier, which, of course, you know, a moment's reflection will tell you that such thing is simply not possible in human recollection. But we've come to accept that as a convention of literary memoir. Those kind of things were it was scaffolding. It gave me support and structure. Fun too, and I did enjoy sort of tweaking the genre to a certain degree here and there too, but it was also just having that formal structure there was a way of not ever quite getting as lost as I've often gotten while I've tried to do other things.